It's a Scorsese and honor to be here today. As I say every week, one of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And as we all know, this week's Parsha is Parshas Chayei Sarah. So much to do, so much to cover. We obviously have to pick and choose what we speak about. But we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions. And hopefully we're going to come out with that major yesod, that major foundation point that we could bring into our lives in a very real way. The Torah tells us in the beginning of Perachov Gimel, Parshas Chayei Sarah, Vayu Chayei Sarah, Mea Shana, Ve'esrim Shana, Ve'sheva Shanim, Shnei Chayei Sarah. And Sarah's lifetime was 127 years. And Rashi picks up in the first Rashi, why does it have to separate? If someone would say, how old are you? I'm 35. I'm 30 and 5. You obviously think something's wrong with that person. Are you 35 or 35? But over here, the Parsha tells me that she's 127, and it's broken up. 127. What does that mean? Why do you have to tell me Shana after every single year? So says Rashi, famous Rashi, Bas Meya Kibas Esrim. When she was 100, she was really like 20. Lachet, in terms of sin. Mabat Esrim Lochata, Share Einabas Onchin, just like someone that's 20 doesn't sin because they're not Bas Onchin. So too, when she was 100, she had no chet, Ubat Esrim. And if she was 20, she was like 7 in regards to beauty. I told my guys this week that if you look at my 7-year-old like that, there's going to be some mad problems. What does that mean? That her beauty when she was 20 was like she was 7. Usually, you see a woman that's attractive or beautiful. She's looked as an attractive, beautiful person at 20, not at 7. So what's Rashi saying? What does this mean over here? That her beauty was like she was 7. Furthermore, there's a very fascinating Medrash. The Medrash says that we know Sarah lived 127 years. The Medrash says that Rabbi Akiva was darshaning. Rabbi Akiva was giving a drasha. And his students were falling asleep. Not that I know anything about that. But, you know, the students were dozing. I remember once being in a shir. There was a guy in the shir and he was like trying so hard. You know, like the head bob thing. Like, ooh, ooh. And like he's trying so hard to listen. Definitely not listening at all, let's be honest. Because you're sleeping, but you think you're not. And he kept on fighting it. One time he just couldn't do it and he fell off the chair. So I wasn't laughing at him because the show did not laugh at anyone. But it was a little interesting. And he fell off the chair. He like was, where am I? Where am I? He woke up and he went back on the chair. And then he listened to the shear. So I guess it was good that he fell off the chair. Anywho, was that doing anything? Not sure. But, because we're talking about Rabbi Akiva. It's all about the magic. It's all about the type. So what happened? Rabbi Akiva was giving a drasha and his students were falling asleep. And he said, you know what? Tell me them. Just like Sarah lived 127 years, so too Esther Amalka had 127 provinces. And then the students woke up. What in the world is going on? Strange medrash. The real medrash is a medrash. People all about Korim talk about this medrash. What is going on with this medrash? What is the correlation? What is the connection between Sarah and Esther? And why specifically is it Rabbi Akiva? Furthermore, again, there's so much to do. There's so much to talk about. We got to pick and choose. We know that Eliezer, the Eved of Abraham, is sent to go get a wife for Yitzchak. And very fascinating, he tells, again, Eliezer's name is not found anywhere in the Torah. We only know that it's Eliezer, the Eved, because Torah Shabbat Pet, the Gemara talks about it, and the Midrashim. But he tells him, in Perach of Dalet, Pasuk Gimel, he says, "Vasbiecho b'Hashem, I want you to make a shvua that you're not going to take Asher lo tikach isha libnei bimnos haknani Asher yoshev Asher anochi yoshev bikirbo among who I dwell. You have to promise me, you have to swear to me that you're not going to take a woman from Canaan." And the obvious question that the Drosh HaTzaran asks, that the Kli Yakar asks, is what's going on here? We know that they were all involved in Avodah Zarah. When Eliezer, the Eved, goes and gets the wife, goes and gets Rivka from Haran, The also involved in Avodah Zarah. What is the difference between Canaan? Why is Canaan so bad? Why do you have to go out of town and not... What does this mean that we're talking about Asher Anochi Yoshev Bekirbo? What's that all about? That you're not with her? What's that all about? Question two. Question three. We know that there was a whole... In the beginning, we know there was a whole thing with Avraham and Ephron. And Ephron's not such a good guy, a trickster. And we spoke last week about how the Rabbeinu Yonah writes that the 10th test was dealing with this Ephron after he just did Akir Yasiyaskok, and even after he lost his wife, his 10th test, which we'll talk about a little. And we know that we learn out the whole idea of Kiddushin, the whole marriage, Al Pi Halacha, is learned out, says the Gemara in Kiddushin, and that Bezim and Aleph, Kicha, Kicha, Mistei Ephron. It says, Kach, says to take. And it says, Vayikach, stay, that he's got a field. So we learn out that you have to take a woman. And the obvious question is, what is this drasha? Why are we learning out from Stay Ephron? Why are we learning out that the mitzvah of Kiddushin, the marriage of a man and a woman, is learned out from Stay Ephron? And furthermore, we'll say 3b, even though it's not really connected. I just want to say 4, because if I say 4, everyone's brain turns off. Maybe we'll say 1, everyone's brain turns off, like we keep students, because it's a show. But 3b is, we know that every letter in the Torah, every word in the Torah is chashuv. And even there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says even the dots on certain parts in the Torah are the dots we learn out drushes from. And you know how psukim there are about the whole story between Rivka? 67 extra psukim. And Rashi brings down from the Medrash, why is this? Rashi's found in Perek of Dalet, Pasuk Membez. Rashi says, because we want to see the Sicha of the Avdei Avos, Lifnei HaMakom, that's why the Torah goes out of its way and talks about the Sicha, the conversation, because the Sicha of an Eved that's connected to the Avos, to the Patriarchs, to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, is so great. And that's why the Torah has to say it, Kafel. Why? Why? Rashi is quoting the Medrash, telling us what the facts are. But why is that? Why is the Sicha of an Eved of the Avos, what's that all about? So let's just chazer over. Again, we have a lot to do. There's so much to do in every parasha. Baruch Hashem. You can find hundreds and hundreds of Sfarim on every idea. But that's what we're here for, to learn, to grow in the Avodas Hashem. Again, question one is Chaye Sarah, what's it all about? How come when she's 20, when she was 20, her beauty is like when she's 7? And 1b is, what's this Medrash talking about? 127 provinces, 127 years, what's the connection? Question two is, why was Avraham so strong that Eliezer, the Eved, can't get it from Canaan? He has to go somewhere else. What's so bad about Canaan? And lastly, how come we're learning the whole parsha of Kicha Kicha? We're learning the whole parsha of Kiddushin from Kicha Kicha, the taking of the field. Again, that trickster Ephron, that Avraham had to deal with that trickster. How come we're learning it? And how come we have so many psukim about the whole story of getting a wife for Yitzchak, the whole story with Rivka? So let's go slow. Let's try to build the yisod. Build off a little from last week. And let's try to understand this. So last week we spoke about what chesed means, and it's difficult. It's not easy. You know, some of the guys in my shiur, I was talking about with them also, and I explained to them that chesed, again, is not doing what you need, but what the other person needs. And it's difficult. It's not so easy. But sometimes we have hard relationships. Sometimes we've been hurt. So it's hard to do that, which definitely understandable. And it's hard sometimes, but again, the more a person tries to understand the other person, a lot of times we have, like, we think we know everything, and we think we know what that person's thinking and why. Again, I just had a recent story. I was talking to two Bachrim, and they both think different things about each other, and the whole reason why they hate each other is because they think that the other one hates them. So I said, why don't we just be a big person and just be nice to each other? And again, it's not so easy. There's a lot of buildup. There's a lot of water under the bridge, as they say. So it's not easy. But again, chesed is to understand the other and to try to give to them. And we spoke about how we want to live al Kiddush Hashem. We want to be able to live, right? As the Rishonim debate, which test is greater? Is the test to live al Kiddush Hashem, is to die al Kiddush Hashem? But clearly there's an idea of to live al Kiddush Hashem. And that's what's going on here. What's this Medrash? The Medrash of 127 years, 127 provinces. What does it have to do with anything? So, I remember I was in the Old City once and I bumped into Reb Nevinson, who was one of the Gedolim in Yerushalayim, Sadik of the Old City. Tremendous person. And, you know, I listened to my grandfather, Reb Banzer Ovashom, that he says, always have to have a Dvar Torah in your pocket. You never know when you're going to need it. You never know when, you know, it just actually happened this week. There was a little forest fire near the yeshiva. Everyone had to evacuate. We actually all went to the Mashkiach's house. Baruch Hashem, everything was fine. Everything was great. We went to the Mashkiach's house. It was actually awesome because her Sachs, one of my Rebbeim, Mashiach Landers, in the middle of giving shir to my shir. And all of a sudden, the police said, you gotta get out. So I'll never forget that, right? Besides giving shir, and everyone had to leave. It was awesome. But we went to the Mashkiach's house, and we had like a tish. It was awesome. Baruch Hashem, I listened to my grandfather because I had a Dvar Torah. They asked me to speak. I didn't know I was going to speak. And I had this Dvar Torah, Baruch Hashem, for the Parsha Shir. They gave over. You got to live al Kiddush Hashem. Right? And that's why they even say that Yitzchak in the Parsha, you don't even know where he is. It's a little Dvar Torah. You don't even know where he is. Where is Yitzchak? He's the son. But no, he was in Sheva Eber, as we said. But why in Sheva Eber? Because he was showing that he could live al Kiddush Hashem. And that's why Rav Sternbach writes that why did Sarah was on a greater level of Nevuah than Abraham. So then why did she die? So says Rav Sternbach, this idea is Mamish Siyata Dishmaya. Maybe not as good as my wife's story with the doctor appointment or my pants. But it was Siyata Dishmaya because it was the exact Dvar Torah that I was talking about. That he says, you know why? She was afraid her son was going to die al Kiddush Hashem. And she knew to live al Kiddush Hashem is greater. That's why she didn't make it. Wow, Pellet. Okay, great. So I asked Rav Nevinson. I asked Rav Nevinson, what's shot in this Medrash? And he looked at me with his little smile and he said, Koyach Hazman. I wasn't really sure. I kind of knew what he was saying, but I wasn't sure. And then, a couple weeks later, I heard Roshom Razner give a Dvar Torah, and he quoted this Medrash. And he explained from the Chedushi HaRim that if you do the math, 127 divided by 127, right? I'm not such an upper math type of guy. My dad actually helped me a lot with math. 127 divided by 127 is 1. So what does that mean? Every year a new province went up. So if you do the math, the Chedush HaRim actually goes through the whole math. And again, I might be exaggerating. I don't know exactly what he says. But every year is a new province. That means every month is a full city. Imagine New York City in 1 month. That means every week is a village. I don't know. That means every day, says the Chedush HaRim, is an apartment building. Every hour is another house. You know what Rabbi Kiva was telling his students? That we gotta live in the moment. You gotta take advantage. You gotta take advantage of life. A lot of times we get so nervous of what's gonna be in the future. We don't know the future. We could learn from the past. We've made mistakes in the past. But in life, we have to live in the moment. We have to utilize our time wisely. We have to use our time wisely. And it's about living with the Ribbono Shel. Every day is another house that went up. Every day, what we could accomplish in a day. What we could accomplish with our acts. Why Esther? Why Esther? So it says in Megillas Esther. It says Gevaldik. It says in Perek Dalet. Pasuk Yudalid. I had this close to my grandfather. My mother used to throw down perm suit. This awesome perm suit. My grandfather used to lane it. So I know some of the laning from it. And I remember always laning. What did he say? What does the Esther say? It says, Kiim hakaresh takrishi beis hazoz revach v'hatzala yamod la'yudim mimakom acher v'at beit avicha tovedu miyode im le'et kazos higata l'malchus. So just to translate, Mordechai turns to Esther and he says, for you've persisted in keeping silent at a time like this, relief and deliverance will come to the Jews from another place. If you don't take action right now, it's going to happen. Hashem's going to save us. But you're not going to be the one that's going to be able to take it. This is your time, Esther. You have the ability to save Klal Yisrael. And we all know that she did. She saved Klal Yisrael. It was very difficult living with an Achashverosh or Goy. But she needed to save Klal Yisrael because she took advantage of her time. We have to live in the moment. We need to take more advantage of the time. And I think that's what Rabbi Akiva was telling his students. Wake up. You're sleeping now. You have the advantage to conquer. You have the advantage to accomplish. Stop sleeping. Wake up. And why Rabbi Akiva? Because Rabbi Akiva, as we all know, the Tanah Dabei Avos says that the pshat is that Rabbi Akiva was 40 years old and he still said, I'm not giving up and I'm going to learn Torah and I'm going to learn Aleph. The Medrash says that he put himself in a Kita Aleph at 40 years old. Who in the world does that? Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva said, I'm going to utilize. Maybe I didn't have the upbringing. Maybe I didn't have the zchus of learning Torah when I was young. But now look where I am and I'm going to build myself. I'm going to utilize my time. They tell a famous story of the Granat, of Naftali Trupp, one of the Gedolim. He was killed in Nazi Germany. He was killed by the Nazis, Yach Shemo. He was very sick. And all the Talmidim in the Yeshiva, he lived in Raden by the Chofetz Chaim. He was the great, he has Chedushi HaGranat, used in all the Yeshivas. And everyone, what they did, all the Talmidim, they wanted to give more life to the Chedushi HaGranat. And they said, they started saying, I'm going to give time of my life to him. Unbelievable. And they asked the Chafetz Chaim, how much time of your life are you going to give to Rav Naftali? And the Chafetz Chaim said, I'm going to give 1 minute. Now that's amazing. 1 minute. Because what the Chafetz Chaim did in 1 minute is very powerful. Maybe our minutes are not like the Chafetz Chaim's minutes. Let's call a spade a spade. Maybe our minutes are not like the Chofetz Chaim's minutes. But what we can accomplish in hours, what we can accomplish in days, what we can accomplish with things, we just got to believe in ourselves. We got to realize that we could do it. Because we got to live the moment. We have to realize that time is of the essence. And we have to realize what we have. That's what it's all about. So the first yisod is that we have to stop worrying about what's going to be in the future. We don't know. Obviously, a person can't be stupid. He has to do his shtadlus, and he can't be like, oh, whatever happens in the future. No, he has to work at things, but he has to live in the moment for his avodas Hashem. That's yisod number one. What's the whole idea of Kenan? Why did Avram tell his Eved that he can't get from Kenan? So one idea is that if he got from Canaan, so since she was raised, the woman was raised in a bad environment, although she would be married to the Gadol Dor Yitzchak, still the environment would hurt her because she would be close to her house, so she needed to get away. She needed to be out of town. That's definitely one idea. However, another idea possibly says the great Kli Yakar, or Refai Lenchen, one of the greats from Prague. He says, beautiful. He says that you know what the pshat is? Because in Canaan, in Canaan, they didn't have great midos. Their character traits were flawed. And since their character traits were flawed, there's no way that Yitzchak can marry a girl from Canaan. Our character traits are important. We are developed traits from either nature or nurture, from our environment, from our upbringing. There are definitely so many character traits. But the more a person works on his character traits, and Tikkun Amidus is difficult, but the more a person works on his character traits, the greater he's going to be. I told my Bachram this week, is that, you know, none of you are married or none of you have children, but the more you work on yourselves now, the more you build yourselves now, when you don't have so many responsibilities. Yeah, you have responsibilities to learning, and you have responsibilities for some of the guys that are in college, and you have responsibilities, but guess what? If you're able to develop yourself now, when you're 19 and 20 and 21, so then it's going to help you later on, when you develop, when you get married, and when you have children. Because the more you're able to work on your foundation now, the easier it's going to be later. In Canaan, their foundation was messed up. In Canaan, it was not a strong foundation. So therefore, Avram told Eliezer, you cannot get a child from Canaan. You cannot get a girl from Canaan. Because if you get a girl from Canaan, her midos are going to be flawed. And in order to create Klal Yisrael, you can't have flawed midos. You can't have character traits that are flawed. That's why it's so integral. So what's shot in that first Rashi? Says the great Rav Moshe Feinstein. Unbelievable. He says, she was 100, when she was 100, she was like 20. As we all know, when we get older and we get more stubborn in our thoughts and we just do things a certain way, it's hard to change. It's always hard to change. But especially when you're older, it's hard to change. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, that when she was 100, she was like 20, like we're saying now. That Sarah was a person that was always willing to change. Always willing to work on herself. She realized that there is room for growth. There's room for growth for everyone. Everyone can change. Rabbi Sol Salanter writes, famous statement, that it's easier to finish Shas than to change one midah. And that statement is mamish emes. Again, finishing Shas is no easy thing. I one day. You know, I look at my father, he's finished it a couple of times. Amazing. It's not easy to do a daf yomi 7.5 years and to shteig and the consistency. It's not pashut. But to change our midas is harder. Because we're all born a certain way. We all go through things in life. But if a person sees that he could change his midas and work on himself, even if he's older, even if he's 40, even if he's 50, even if he's 60, even if he's 100, like a Sarah, she was 100, and she still was able to treat herself like a 20-year-old, that she was able to make change. Because the more a person works on themselves, that's greatness. Greatness is to not settle, is to realize, okay, I could work on myself. So what does that mean that when she was 20, she was like a 7-year-old? Because real beauty is when you look, again, sometimes when you're 20, you could be beautiful also, but sometimes you put the makeup on, you do the whole thing, you know? A 7-year-old, people don't look at 7-year-olds like that because there's real beauty there. Sarah was a person of real beauty. She didn't need to camouflage it with anything. She was the real deal. And that's why she was Sarah. That's why she was one of our imahos. Why kicha kicha? Why are we learning out the whole idea of kiddushin from kicha kicha mistei Ephron, from the trickster? So I saw Refran in his beautiful sefer. He has a bunch of svarim on the parsha. On his first sefer on the parsha, he talks about what we spoke about last week. Why was the last test, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, was the test of dealing with an Ephron? So he says two very nice ideas. He says one idea is, you know, Avram finally got to that pinnacle. He was living El Kiddush Hashem. He was about to offer his son. And nevertheless, Hashem said stop. But he was mamish at the pinnacle. So a person could think, I'm at the pinnacle. Now I'm in retirement. I'm done. So now just, Hashem, just give me a little peace of mind. And then all of a sudden, his wife dies. And then he has to deal with a stay Ephraim. He has to deal with a trickster. And Avram said, it's okay, I'm a growing person. He also is that growing person. Because I have difficulties, and I'm going to have challenges. And I mamish peaked out, and it was an awesome experience. An experience that is for Klal Yisrael, every Rosh Hashanah, and every Parshas Vayera. And our whole, we say every day in Davening, the idea of Akedas Yitzcha, to show the love to the Ribbono Shalom. And that was such a pinnacle point. But Avram says, I'm not. It's just gonna happen again. I'm not staying status quo. I'm just gonna keep on going. I'm gonna keep on striving. And even though I hit such a high peak, I might fall a little, but I'm gonna pick myself up. And that's what stay Ephron means. Says our friend another idea from Rav Dessler. You know what stay Ephron means? Stay Ephron is imagine everything is going wrong. Everything is terrible. Nothing is going right for you. And then all of a sudden, someone barks at you. Someone's mean to you. You just want to knock them over the head. So Avram is mamash, he just lost his wife. And all of a sudden he's dealing with a trickster. He could have just let out his emotion. It's very hard to, just couldn't bottle it. Come on. Come on! But Avram said, just because you, Ephron, are a trickster, and just because you're doing that to me, I'm not going to let you hurt me. I'm not. I'm stronger than that. You know, sometimes people are screaming and yelling, and they're not really yelling at the person. They're not really doing it. They're just having a bad day. And it's hard. It's hard for us to realize that, especially, you know, we are one-sided sometimes. We have to get out of the ego, the self-centeredness, but it's difficult sometimes. We take everything very personally. Sometimes we learn things up wrong, which happens a lot, but we take things so personally. I remember once I was hearing a shiur from Dr. David Lieberman from Torah Anytime, and he was saying that, you know, when you raise children and you criticize children, and you're mean to them, you're killing them. Why are you killing them? Because they getting everything from you, which we spoke about. We spoke about the child relationship with the parents and the grandparents and the relationship, how they view themselves. They're getting information about themselves from you, right? Give a shout out to Uncle G. Send me a beautiful email. I love emails, right? About how the forming of the parents and the environment is such an integral part of a person that they're forming, because you're understanding yourself from what people say about you, what you think about yourself, especially when you're a little child. So I remember, sometimes we're in a bad mood, right? So when you're screaming at your kids, chasba shalom, my friends told me they scream at their kids sometimes, so the kid thinks they're screaming at me. It has nothing to do with that daddy's having a bad day, or whatever the reason is. So I remember one time, I was raising my voice a little, things weren't going my way, and I turned to my 6-year-old daughter, and I turned to her and said, I'm not really yelling at you. I'm having a bad day. And my 6-year-old turned to me and said, but you're yelling at me. I said, that's a good point. That's a good point. Okay, I'll stop yelling at you. Good point. Okay. But what I'm trying to say is that, says Rav Dessler, is that even though Ephron was a trickster and trying to get all the cash money out of him, still Avram said, just because you are that way, it's not going to affect me. Just because I'm in a bad mood, I'm not going to let it affect you. I'm not going to hurt you. They tell an amazing story of their Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Mom, it's crazy. And it's hard sometimes to hear these stories because these people, you know, they're gedolim. But we can learn from these stories. These stories are tremendous in our own way. Rav Shlomo Zalman just lost his wife, his best friend. He lost his wife. And he was in Shaare Tzedek Hospital. And a Talmud sees the Gadol Hador, and he sees, he just lost his wife 10 minutes before. And he turns to the Gadol Hador and he says, Rosh Yeshiva, Gadol Hador, I just want to let you know that I had a baby girl. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman looks to the person and says, Mazel Tov, and gives him a hug. He just lost his wife, imagine. And again, maybe we're not on that level. And we can't even fathom this level, but we can learn from this story. Because this story is telling us that just because we're in a bad mood or things aren't going the way we want them to, why should I affect another? That's the idea. That's why that was a test of Stay Ephron. Why Kicha Kicha? Because Kicha Kicha, Avraham, even though his wife died, she was Nifter and he was burying her, he still did Chesed Shel Emes. And he still kept on doing more, even though she wasn't alive. But on a spiritual way, he kept on doing more and more for his wife, even though she wasn't alive. Because although when a relationship is, obviously there's a physical aspect of every relationship, every marriage, and there's two partners coming together from two different backgrounds, coming together to form a family. But the more a couple just keeps on giving, without trying to get back. And again, it's hard, we're human beings. But just keeps on giving. I remember last summer I was giving a Shir Nisha Torah, and I was talking about this idea about relationship and giving, the whole nine yards, right? And all of a sudden this guy with really long hair tattoos raises his hand. I'm like, oh God, it's gonna be awesome. And he says, I just wanna let everyone know that what Bloom is saying is true. I'm like, yes! Because I saw it somewhere, I'm like, uh-oh, that if every person gives 100% of giving, then they'll both be giving to each other, and it's beautiful. Because sometimes we get 50-50, and we're like, oh, I'm hurting. But like similar, we were talking at the beginning of this year. You give 100%. And again, we have ups and we have downs. We're normal human beings. But you give what you can. And the end result, you will get back, because that's just the way it works. But the more you give to someone, the more the trust you build. And that's the void of Kicha Kicha. Avram got a field from Maris HaMachpela, Kicha Kicha, to show that he never stopped giving to his wife, even when she wasn't alive. And that's the idea that a person, when they're in the relationship, a Kedushin, why are we learning that out to Kedushin? Because Kedushin is the idea of keep on giving and giving and giving. And if you keep on giving and giving, it's going to be a great relationship. So why made so many psukim? Because we learn from the Avos. We learn from an Avraham. We learn from a Sarah. We learn from them. And it's greater to learn from someone's actions. Even the Avadim or Avos we learn from. Because the more we see a person in action, we can learn so much from them. And that's what we see from the Avos. The Avos, as the Ramban writes, the way they act affects us. Affects us even nowadays. And we all want to be people that are giving. We all want to be people to have better relationships with people. And again, sometimes it's hard. But the more a person could just, again, if it's like, they call it a gagal chozer. This person's not nice to me, and you're not nice to me. Sometimes we have to, again, if a person wants it, but if a person has to suck it in and say, okay, I'm going to be the bigger person here, and even if the person doesn't want to accept it, I'm just going to keep on giving what that person needs, and I'm telling you they'll accept it. It might be hard in the beginning, but they eventually will accept it if it's done in a real way. What can I do to help you? How can I make things better? I'm here for you. And that's what we learn from the Avos. We learn from a Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephon. That's what we learn. He couldn't take a wife. Eliezer couldn't take a wife from Canaan because she didn't have the Midas Taivas. She didn't have good character traits. But we need to build our character traits. So again, let us take this idea. Let's live in the moment. Let's realize what we could do now. Our time is precious. 127. Every day we could accomplish a lot. We could do so much, and I know our time is precious, and we're working, and we have so many responsibilities, but a couple of minutes a day, have a couple extra little focuses on davening, start small and build yourself up. Let us realize that from a Sarah, that she was a person that was really, she was 100 years old, and she was like a 20-year-old, willing to change, realizing that we all could change a little better, we could all be a little better, we could keep on working on ourselves. And let us realize that the Ribbono Shel Olam has given us so much, and we need to live and realize how lucky we are. And let us just keep on working, Ba'avodas Hashem, keep on working to have the relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, better relationships with everyone, beautiful relationships with our spouses and our children. And let us just keep on getting closer and closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everyone should have an amazing Shabbos, and everyone should keep on growing. Please be in touch. And I'm looking forward to hearing from everyone. Have a great Shabbos.